God bless you. I want you to take your Bibles tonight, if you have them, and turn with me, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter number 6. The book of Joshua, chapter number 6. It's a joy to be back under the tabernacle tonight. I appreciate how the Lord has blessed our lives today. I thank Him for traveling mercy on the road, coming here and going home last night. And then again tonight, I appreciate how the Lord has watched over us and took care of us. And it is a blessing and a great honor for me to be here tonight in this place with you wonderful people and you good preachers and pastors. I appreciate you being here tonight. I am humbled and I am surely honored to be here in the house of God tonight. I appreciate Brother Bobby and Brother Johnny from the church coming with us tonight again. And you would think they hear me enough, but they come and support us, and I sure do thank God for that. And it's good to have my wife with me tonight. She don't get to come a lot of times, and people say, we don't never see your wife. And I say, well, she says that about you. I think she's wondered if I was going to meeting or not, but I love her. I want her to stand. This is my wife, and I appreciate her being here, and amen. My youngest daughter, Gabby, is here, and then my second to oldest son, Jacob, is back with me. We have five together, and the Lord has truly blessed our lives. We got them stretched from 26 all the way down to 10, and so the Lord has blessed us, and surely I thank God for my wife and love her and appreciate her being with me tonight. Just like a lot of you men, I ain't punning my coverage, I know. You know, you married up. You looked at her and thought, how did he get her? But I ain't always been this ugly. But I appreciate her. Amen. Joshua chapter number 6. If you're willing and able, I'd ask that you would stand tonight. And by standing, of course, we'll reverence the reading of God's word together. The Bible said, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. You can be seated this evening. I appreciate you standing as we read the Word of God together tonight. I want to use a figurative expression for the title of the message tonight. And this is what I want to preach on, if the Lord will help me for just a few moments. And what I do, I will not be long in doing. But I want to preach on this thought, if these walls could talk. It is a figurative expression. I understand that we're talking about physical walls of Jericho that does not have ears, that does not have eyes. and they do not have a mouth to communicate. But I'm using that to provoke thought tonight. And I ask you, if you will, just think with me for a few minutes about that. If these walls of Jericho could talk, Israel, having attended to the important duty of circumcision and having kept the feast of the Passover, is now fixed. They are fitted and they are furnished to go forward. Joshua is leading a new generation into the land of promise. The capture of Jericho was indispensable. Before any progress could be made by Israel in conquering and occupying the land of Canaan. Now I want you to look that in verse number 2, you find that there is a promise. The Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho." That is a promise. The Lord has given unto Joshua a promise that Jericho would be his. And then you'll notice in verse number 20, that is the possession. The Bible said in verse number 20, "So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." That's the possession. Verse number 2, you have a promise. And then in verse number 20, you have the possession. But in between the promise and the possession, there is a predicament. And I want to just sort of say a few things tonight, if the Lord will help me, about those walls. And we all know a little bit about the walls of Jericho, and they pose to be a predicament for the people of Israel. You and I have many predicaments in our life, don't we? I mean, things that are standing in our way of opposition. Things that we're going to have to overcome if we're going to have the victory. And I'm interested in victory. I don't believe that the Lord is pleased when his people walks nor lives a defeated life. I'm telling you, there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I just remind you tonight that we are not fighting for victory, but we are definitely fighting from victory tonight. And we know, as it was sung about a while ago, victory was won at Calvary. And I say hallelujah, bless his name tonight. So these walls of Jericho, they were high walls, they were wide walls. And as I studied about them, they were also walls that were double. They were not only high and wide, but as I studied, they were double. Seems like that's the way it is a lot of times in life with our predicaments. They're not only high, and they're not only wide, but would you agree with me tonight, they come a lot of times in twos. I mean, it's not like we have to deal with one thing at a time. Brother Tony, it seems like it's one thing right after another thing. And it just seems like if they would come one at a time, we might be able to handle them a little easier. But it seems like they're always coming in multiple forms. And God can help us tonight as he helped the children of Israel to overcome that wall in their life. We understand about walls. I could say quickly tonight, and I'll never get finished,
But I would like to say that we understand something about personal walls. You got to have those. I mean, if you're going to retain some kind of sanity, you've got to have some personal walls. There's some people, there are some things in life that you just cannot let in. Am I telling it right? And so what we say is, we say, well, we're going to have to build some personal walls right there. I'm not going to be able to deal with that. If I let that come into my life, that's going to drive me crazy. And so we got to have those walls to retain our sanity. Oh, yeah, you've left Thanksgiving dinner before and said, we're going to have to set up some walls. I can't let them people in, and they're your people. And you say, I'm not going to be able to let them come in, amen. Going to have to set up some boundaries here. But there's physical walls, not only personal walls, but there's physical walls. I want to just stop tonight and thank God that there is some physical walls in my life. I'm thinking about the house that I just left, and I'm grateful that God has given me a home in which I can bring my family into and shut the door and within the confines of those four physical walls, I can find security for my life. Amen. You ought to thank God that God has given you a home and you're not having to live out under a bridge somewhere tonight, but God's given you four walls that you can bring your family into and find security. I'm thinking about that little white church, Brother Timmy, over there on the side of the road. It may not look like a lot in some of your eyes, but when I top the hill and I see my place of worship, I'm thankful for those four walls. Woo! Hallelujah! Time after time, I've come into those four walls. I found help for my life in the house of God. Don't you thank God for your place of worship? I say hallelujah. I mean, it's about like your salvation. I'm thankful for it, but not as thankful as I am about mine. I love the place where God has put me and planted my life. I think about not only those physical walls and those personal walls, but there is tonight, if you'll have this, there is providential walls in our life. Providential walls. You and I ought to thank God for that. Oh yeah, I wouldn't be here tonight had it not been some for God erecting some providential walls. Do y'all believe in a providential God? Oh yes, you better believe I do. I'm not making my way through here on my own. I'm glad I got a God that's working in my life in providence. I didn't get interested in school a lot of times until they were doing some kind of project or some kind of hands-on thing. But I remember when I was in class, I believe it was science class one time, our science teacher come out there and he had a little white mouse. And he said, we're gonna put this mouse in a maze. And he put that mouse in that maze, and we was all gathered around that as little children. And you know what I remember about that mouse, brother? It is that mouse was put in at this spot, but there was a opening over here that we was watching to see if he could ever get to. There was a destination, if you'll have that, that he needed to get to. And the only way that he could make his way through that was he would run into into this wall and it wouldn't be where he could go. So he'd have to turn around and go that way, and then he'd go that way. And brother, I begin to think about how God has put some providential walls in my life. I would have went somewhere I was not supposed to be. I would have messed some things up. Y'all ain't helping me tonight. But you ought to thank God for those providential walls in your life. God putting those walls and getting me to that destination where he'd have me to be in my life. We're familiar with these walls, not physical walls altogether, but we know, we understand something about walls. Jericho was a walled city. It was a frontier city. It was a fortified city. It was a fascinating city. And we know by the Bible that it was not going to be by force. And we know that it was not going to be by fight. But we know according to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 and verse number 30, that the walls of Jericho would fall by faith. Amen. It wouldn't be by fight, and it wouldn't be by force. But the Bible said in Hebrews 11 and verse number 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Amen. Same way the children of Israel, I was able to see those walls fall in front of them, is the same way that you and I are going to see the walls in our life fall. It ain't going to be by fight, and it ain't going to be by force, but I'm trying to tell you that it will be by faith. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 10, and in verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I don't know how big the wall is in your life. I don't know how wide the wall is in your life. I don't know how many walls they are in your life. But I'm trying to tell you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, that by faith you can see those walls come down in your life. There's several degrees of faith that I believe was used. I believe there was the degree of faith that rules. And I think you and I ought to have that kind of faith. The kind of faith that rules in our life. I'm talking about over every other thing. We got faith that rules over that. I mean, when we see something, our faith ought to be bigger than those obstacles and those walls. It ought to rule in our life. It ought to govern our life. They had the kind of faith that not only ruled, but the kind of faith that risked. I'm telling you, it didn't make sense to do what they were told to do. And I'm thinking about Peter that night as he was out there on that water. And he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And you know why Peter stepped out of that boat? Is because he had the kind of faith that risked against all odds. He stepped out of that boat and he stepped down and started walking to the Lord. And he walked by faith. And it wasn't until he started getting his eyes off of the Lord that he began to sink. But it took faith to step out of that boat. We ought to have the kind of faith that rules in our life. We ought to have the kind of faith that risks in our life. But I believe we ought to have the kind of faith that rests in our life. Oh, hallelujah. You see, the hope of the Canaanites was in their wall, but the hope of the Israelites was in his word. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, the hope of the Canaanites was in what they did. But the hope of the Israelites was in what he said. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm telling you, my hope ain't in nothing that I could ever do tonight. My faith is not in me. Let me just remind you, my faith is not in my faith tonight. But my faith is in him tonight. It's in the Lord. And that's where my faith rests at tonight. The Bible said in verse number 1, and just give you a thought tonight, just one thought. I seem to never get these preached anymore. The Bible said in verse number 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see. He said unto Joshua, see. See the opportunity. I believe he's saying unto Joshua, not only see the opportunity, but see the reality. I believe he's not only saying see the reality of the opportunity, but Joshua, see the spirituality of the situation. See, and can I make this comment tonight, that it's hard to see what God has said sometimes. I'm telling you, that's a statement, brother. It's hard to see what God has said sometimes. You say, I don't have no problem with that. Boy, I sure do. I mean, I have problems sometimes seeing what God has already said. You know, I don't have sometimes what I need. The Bible said in Exodus 14 and in verse number 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Bible said in verse number 13, he said, which he will show to you today, for the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And now you say, that ain't hard to see. Not for us. But I'm telling you, it was hard for them to see that. It was hard for them to see what the Lord was going to do. But I'm telling you, when you're on the other side looking back, it ain't as hard to see it no more. They're looking at it before in verse number 13 and 14. But when you get down in verse number 30 and 31, they're looking back. And the Bible said, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians. Huh? I'm telling you, that's good right there. Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So you know what they're doing? They're looking back. I don't believe they believed it altogether when they were looking at it before, but isn't it good to get on the other side of it and look back across it and say, my, look yonder what God is doing. I'm telling you, God is able to do great things. If he done it for Israel, he can do it for you, and he can do it for me tonight. See. The Bible said, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. That was a declaration. You know what that caused them to do? That caused them to have an exercise of their faith. See, I don't have it yet. It's not in my possession. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. I don't have it yet, so by faith, I'm going to have to see it. I'm going to have to exercise my faith here. I'm going to have to just believe God. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. But Lord, what about the walls? But Lord, what about, would you please Give us something to maybe help us with our faith here a little bit. I appreciate what you said, but boy, it sure would be good to see something tangible. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? See, get around this altar and you pray and you ask God, God, I got some youngins out there that is in need of some help from you. And the Lord says, I got this, I got this. And you get up and you go back to your seat and you still ain't believing. You still wanting to see something. As a matter of fact, they ain't getting any better. They're getting worse. And you're wondering, Lord, are you even aware of what's going on? Do you know the kind of situation that I'm facing? Well, I'm going to tell you, He does know tonight. He knows exactly what we're facing. And He has the plans for us to have the victory over. See, do you know what I believe He's saying right there? See? See what? See your past. Huh? See your past. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. Look back down your past. Oh my. Look where I brought you from. Oh yeah, I brought you up out of Egypt. The pastor quoted it a while ago. You couldn't got yourself out of Egypt. There ain't no way you could have got yourself up out of Egypt. But aren't you glad God got you out of Egypt's bondage? Oh my. I say hallelujah. He's saying, see, look back down the road. Was I not God in your past? When you come before the Red Sea, did I not prove to be faithful at the Red Sea? Look back down your past. When I brought you through the wilderness, was I not faithful unto you? When I brought you across the Jordan, have I not been faithful? I'm going to tell you, God's always been faithful. It's us that ain't always been faithful. But I'm going to tell you, God Almighty has always been faithful. You'll never pin on our God that God ain't been faithful. Every step of my life, everything that I've encountered, I'm trying to tell you, God has proved Himself to be faithful. Look, look, see. See your past. See, I have given in thine hand Jericho. See where you're at. Have I not brought you all the way this far? Oh, Lord, this is getting bigger than I can preach tonight. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to get you to look back down the road and see what God's brought you from. But some of you ought to look around and see where you are tonight. Boy, me and my wife, she's sitting here tonight. We didn't get started out in church. I was out of the will of God. I was doing things that I wasn't supposed to do. I hadn't said this many times because I'm very ashamed of it. And I got two children here tonight. But the first thing I ever bought my wife was a drink of alcohol. And I'm not bragging on that tonight. I'm trying to get you to understand that I can look back down my life and say, I don't deserve to be right here tonight. And ain't none of y'all getting with me, but I believe you are in the same boat. Amen. I look back down and I say, look where God's got us at tonight, honey. I'm telling you, God's been good to me. Woo! God's been good to me. I'm telling you, I don't deserve God's goodness. But God has been faithful. And God has been good. Not only look back, but where you are right now. You got your wife beside you on the pew. You got a good suit of clothes on tonight. Drove a good car coming to a camp meeting on a Monday night. Boy, joy. Woo! Think about the alternative. I mean, you could be in a lot worse shape tonight, but hadn't God been good? Hadn't God been good tonight? He's been faithful. See your past, see your present. Joshua, see your future. I'm going to use you and bring it about a victory. I don't need you, but I'm going to use you. I'm going to let you do something. Do you think God needed those Israelites to walk around that wall for that wall to fall? No. Do you think God needs you and I tonight to keep His business going or to have any kind of thing to do in His service? No, no. But I'm glad, hallelujah, the Lord lets me have part. I'm telling you, it's strange tonight, and it was strange for the children of Israel just to walk around the wall. And you know what they were doing, Brother Land? They were doing the natural thing, but God was going to do the supernatural thing. Woo! I'm telling you, God always hold up His end of the bargain, won't He? There's an exercise of their faith. See, I have given. There's evidence of their favor. Do you see that tonight? He said, see, I have given into thine hand. What about that? I have given into thine hand. Out of all the people, God chose Israel. I don't understand why. I'm still trying to figure out why He chose me, but out of all the nations, He chose Israel, chose that people. And He said, see, I have given into thine hand. I'm going to give it unto you. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you. I'm telling you, there is an evidence of favor there. God is favoring those people, and He still is today. But they ain't the only people favored. God. Oh, I got good liberty, Brother Land. They ain't the only people favored. I'm looking at some pretty favored people here tonight. God has given into your hands some stuff that you thought you had never had. But hadn't God favored your life? Hallelujah! Some of you are pastoring a church like I am. I don't deserve that tonight. But God has favored my life. My, what a God, what a God that He would let us have anything to do in His economy. Lord, an evidence of favor. Sometimes the Lord is so miraculous in His dealings with us, He makes us feel like we're the only ones in the world. Favors me so good, I think, why ain't you talking to anybody else today? Ain't that wonderful? I'm telling you, that's the kind of God we have tonight. I have given into thine hand, Jericho. See, I have given. That's evidence of favor. Amen. I'll say this last one. And I ain't even got to my walls. What if I bring it back tomorrow night? Y'all be all right with that? Amen. Hey, man, I got so much liberty in here. I'm preaching all over the place. Not only is it evidence of their favor, and it is an exercise of their faith. But I love this. It is an eradication of their flesh. See, I have given into thine hand, Jericho. I've given it to you. It's yours. And it ain't going to come by anything that you do. Though I'm going to let you have part, it's going to be because I do it. I am the one that's going to receive the glory. What He's trying to say is, what you need to do is just trust me, just follow me, just obey me, just commit yourself unto me, just take this word and stand upon this word, obey what I say, move when I say move, march when I say march, blow when I say blow, shout when I say shout. I'm telling you, they were just going to have to put their trust in God, say, it ain't nothing about me. It ain't nothing about me. Y'all hearing me tonight? We ain't nobody, but I'm trying to tell you about somebody tonight, and that's God. And without Him, we can do nothing. Brother Tony, you come. If these walls could talk, I believe they would say something about the mysterious people
of God. Boy, that's where I really wanted to get to. They would say something about the mysterious. There's no people like God's people. These walls had seen Canaanites, Hittites, Jebusites, but they ain't never seen anything like these Israelites. Phew, Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, if those walls could talk, they'd say something about those mysterious people of God who walked around me one time a day for 6 days and never said a word. Oh my, can you imagine what they'd say? I'm telling you, we are a mysterious bunch of people tonight. And I am so thankful to be identified with God's people. Though we are mysterious in nature, I'm telling you, God's people are still the best people upon the place of planet Earth. And I'm glad to be associated with these mysterious people of God tonight. They just marched around me for 6 days one time. They'd go home. But on that seventh day, they marched around me 7 times. And on that seventh time, the trumpet was blown and the people shouted. And if those walls could talk, I believe they'd say, I never felt anything like I felt. I'm going to tell you what I'm waiting on. I believe Paul had a little idea of it when he was writing about the rapture, and he said at the sound of the trumpet and the shout, I'm telling you, I'm waiting on that. I'm just going to keep walking around those. I know it don't seem normal. I know it seems outlandish, but I'm just going to keep doing what God's told me to do, because I'm a listening and I'm a waiting and I'm a looking for the shout, and I'm a listening for the trumpet, the archangel, brother. And after that sounds, there'll be no more walking needed. There'll be no more of that. Thank God. I'm telling you, that's going to be reality for the child of God. Let's all stand, every head bow. Brother Tony's going to come.